Luke chapter 1, typically the tape recorder held by actor Peter Graves would begin with the words, "Good afternoon, Mr. Phelps." And after an explanation of what was the task at hand and a bio and photos of different ones that they were about to encounter, then it would end with the words, "Your mission, Jim, should you decide to accept it." And then those infamous words, "This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Jim." How many know that's not in year 2012 right there? That kind of dates it by that. But from there, my little 10-year-old mind would just be mesmerized by what that cast of Mission Impossible could pull off in 42 minutes and 30 seconds, excluding the commercials. It was incredible. Many of you remember it, I'm sure. And it was contingent upon that question, should you decide to accept it? Choice is a big part of the story of God's Word. People make choices from Genesis to Revelation. Choice is something that in theology we wrestle with between free will and the sovereignty of God and how much of God's will is something that we have to choose to follow after, or is it just simply something imposed upon us? Do we have a choice? Is free will, does it come into play in our daily assignments and daily choices we make, or is it something that especially takes place in the major moments in our lives? Well, assignments and choice have everything to do with the story that we're going to look at this morning and the character. If you're just joining us today, we introduced the series a week ago for the month of December, and I've entitled it The Posture of Christmas. And Webster's and Oxford Dictionaries helps us to get a picture of what a posture is, and that is that it is a conscious approach to something. It is a conscious attitude towards something. And so these four messages are to help you and I choose, if you will, the posture in which we are approaching Christmas this year, as we would look to every year. If you were here a week ago, you will realize as we begin to read today and look at this story that we have an overlapping here or a paralleling of two stories in this very long opening chapter of Luke's gospel. It's the overlapping of two women, of two babies, and of course of two fathers. If your Bible's in front of you, you'll notice that we ended at verse 25 a week ago, and then we skipped over, picked up verse 57, and we finished out the chapter because that was the amazing story of the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we noted our first posture there in one of these characters around the birth of Christ, and we brought the application into our lives, and that was the posture of service. That Zechariah was a faithful priest and about the time of Christ's birth. And the intrigue of it, the lesson that we learn from this righteous man and his righteous wife, is that they were faithfully going about their business of serving God. They were faithfully doing the duties of a priest and his wife in that day. And obviously, as they're doing it, they're completely unaware of what God is about to do in their lives. They're completely unaware of the supernatural events about to break loose and the plan that God had. And that God rewarded their faithful service. And so that was our first posture. Well, today we pick it up in verse 26. As Luke's narrative shifts now to the relative of Elizabeth's, a wonderful person of Mary, who became the mother of Jesus. And keeping your Bibles open, if you will, in honor of God's Word, we're going to walk through this story together, but I first want to point out the posture. And we see it generally all throughout the entire story here, but clearly in a response that Mary gives to the angel Gabriel, when he has said to her, basically, your mission, Mary, should you choose to accept it, is that you become pregnant with the child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her answer in verse 38, if you have your Bibles there, is simply this: I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. Zechariah's posture is service. Mary's posture here is acceptance. A willingness on her part to enter into the story of God and to play the role that she would play, which of course is a vital role. And it would be very easy for all of us to say today, well, of course she would do it. I mean, who wouldn't? Look at what the angel describes to her. It's absolutely incredible. Who wouldn't want to be the earthly mother of God to the heavenly Son of God? But again, as we look at this story, and as we looked at a week ago, we stand from our vantage point, but we need to get ourselves into the vantage point of the character at that moment in time. Mary is engaged to be married to a carpenter named Joseph. She's a virgin, And like many in that day, she's very young. Jewish girls in that hour would marry very young in their lives typically. And she's facing what would be nothing short of a massive scandal that would ruin her reputation, that of her parents and family. It would be social disgrace. And on top of all of that, what on earth is Joseph going to do? And this would mean proof of what would be considered adultery and which could even result in her being stoned. And so the posture of Mary's response being that of acceptance is a remarkable thing when you think about it. And especially as we will read through this to realize how readily she was available to God. How immediate she was in her response to say, Lord, here I am, I'm your servant. As you have said it then, let it be done in my life. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, said the incarnation is in itself an unfathomable mystery. But it makes sense of everything else that the New Testament contains. This young girl is literally not knowing really all of the repercussions of it, but she is literally entering into willing and acceptance of what is one of the greatest mysteries the world has and will ever come across. To set the context, if you have your Bibles there, just back up to verse 24, where we were a week ago. After this, the wife of Zechariah, Elizabeth, became pregnant, and for 5 months then she remained in seclusion. She's an elderly woman now, carrying this amazing child, John the Baptist, within her womb. Verse 25, she says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And then we pick up today's story, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Keep your Bibles open. But number one, we see here in the posture of acceptance for Mary is that she welcomed the mystery into her life. And the greatest mystery to her at this moment is not what you and I are thinking, but the greatest mystery initially is that God has discovered her, that she is the favored one of God here. And you'll notice her initial surprise wasn't in what Gabriel then is going to tell about her future. No, her surprise is in the greeting. Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And that's all it takes for Mary. Mary is greatly troubled at his words and wonders what kind of greeting this might be. We're not even into much of the story here. It's just the salutation. Yet obviously to Mary, the question immediately is, why me? Why has God chosen me to be favored? The two words here in Greek mean to be perplexed and confused by this greeting. As well, for her to be reasoning quickly, you can tell that little mind of hers immediately goes into fast motion as she is trying to reconcile why God has come to her through an angel to say that you, Mary, are highly favored. So Gabriel adds verse number 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. It's another reminder and another confirmation. Mellow out a little bit, Mary, because God has his hand upon your life. It's always one of the great mysteries to anyone that God speaks to and calls. I know there are some here right this morning. You are wrestling with this in your life right now. You have left different areas in life and come to a new season in your life, or God has moved you on into something. And it's always a mystery to any of us here. Whenever we realize God is doing something in our little lives, look at us, fragile, frail, unknown people as we are, but God knows who we are and that God has chosen us. It's the mystery, obviously, when we come to faith in Christ. It's not something that you and I just wake up to one morning, but rather Jesus said, no one comes to him. No one believes in him. No one embraces Jesus unless God the Father has drawn us to him. And so it's more God than us, and we respond into the work of God. That's an unfathomable mystery to us, but it comes from this word favor, which really comes from a root word that we all know so well, and that is grace. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? That's what she's grappling with here. She turns and says to this God, a God that is calling her. She is, the mystery of it is that God has chosen her. And if you and I today don't have a measure of this, every single time that we come, say to the communion table and behold the sacrifice of Christ and that represents his body and his blood. If you and I at that moment, there's not an element of mystery. There's not an element of the grace of God. And why has he chosen me? Then you have lost the privilege and the joy of communing with God at that moment. If you enter into this series this month and light the candle as we will next Sunday night and sing the hymns and the beautiful music and attend the Christmas Eve service and something within you doesn't resonate, why did God choose me? Why do I have faith? Why am I here believing in him? Then you have lost the meaning of Christmas. It's a mystery that by God's grace, he favors every one of us that chooses to believe in him. As a choir just sang, I believe. We believe because of the grace of God today. And it's an absolute mystery. While this poor girl's trying to reconcile it in her mind, Gabriel just goes for it. He has a message. And he says, verse 31, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great. And he would be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Can you imagine? This is it. This little Jewish girl would be staggering at the thought of the promised Messiah, the Son of God, bringing the kingdom of Israel at hand, the reigning upon David's throne, and all of this through her. Through her body, can you imagine? And so she asked a very practical question at her age, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. It's actually a profound question because I think Mary was already, as she's beginning to reason in her mind, she realizes that can't happen through Joseph. Joseph's an ordinary carpenter. She's already, I think, in her mind beginning to realize there is something unbelievable that's happening, a mystery to all of this. And so the angel answers her question, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then just for comfort, proof, encouragement, evidence that God is able to do all of this. The angel, and I appreciate that he does this, he adds verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for, say it with me, for nothing is impossible with God. Same word that the angel spoke to Abraham over Sarah centuries before. Same word given here in the midst of this hour for this young maiden to say, I can't believe that God is doing this. How is this going to happen? The way it's going to happen is that God is supernatural and he's able to do the unbelievable in our lives. And he's already been involved in Zechariah and Elizabeth's lives. And now he's come to you, Mary. You are most graced of all, favored of God. And her response to the angel is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. What a remarkable young woman. We guesstimate for centuries, it's been guessed, maybe 13, maybe 15, maybe 16 years of age. But she welcomes this mystery not only of her being the favored chosen one, but a mystery of how God is going to do it. And in welcoming that mystery, she is welcoming the supernatural ways of God in her life. The Holy Spirit would come upon her. The word there, dunamis in Greek, where we get the word dynamite, that power of God, that force of God in nature, the force of God that he is going to come upon her. But then we also see it softened by the sense of the power of God overshadowing her. The word means to cover her. And she responds, and of course, yes, God, as you have said, let it be done to me. Because what? Nothing is impossible with God. And in that moment, there's an amazing receptivity on the heart of Mary to what God is going to do supernaturally. If you recall, it wasn't so easy with Zechariah. Zechariah, and we can only speculate, but think about it today. How oftentimes those of young have greater faith than those of old. How often it is those who have been around the block more times than we'd like to admit, we tend to doubt many times more than the young child, than the young believer in Christ that's almost a little bit naive to take God at everything he says in his word. They believe it. And we kind of see it here between Mary and Zechariah. Zechariah was that older man. He was a priest, dedicated, given his whole life to the temple and service, faithful, commended in Scripture, impeccable character. But at that one moment, what did he do? But he doubted. You remember last week, it seems like Gabriel's not an angel of great patience. Do you remember that? Because he loses his vocal ability for 9 months because he doubted, but not Mary. And there's miracles on both ends of the spectrum here. We have an elderly woman who is barren, and we have a young virgin. And between the two, we see God is about to do another amazing work through the supernatural power that he has. And Mary immediately assumes the posture of acceptance. Mary immediately runs from Nazareth to an unknown village in Judea where her relative Elizabeth is. And the story goes that as she enters into the house, just hearing the words, the voice of Mary, Elizabeth says in her, the baby within her womb, John the Baptist, he leapt inside of her. And Luke says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we have her husband Zechariah and now Elizabeth, both of them have been filled by the Spirit of God. And Elizabeth in a loud voice, the word means an ecstatic expression. She cries out these words, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. How does Elizabeth know this? How does this she know of the pregnancy even? How does she know who it is that is within Mary, that she would call him her Lord, that you are the mother of my Lord? How does she realize all these things? Immediately, instantly, it's because she's been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is revealing this to her. But put yourself in Mary's shoes. What a confirmation. Mary's received from the angel. She's believed God. She takes off out of that house of Nazareth. She crosses the plains. She goes into that house. And immediately this confirmation comes from her relative Elizabeth. But notice what Elizabeth says, verse 45. She adds, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She speaks a blessing, but really it's not Elizabeth's blessing. She's given a blessing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's God's blessing. It is God saying, Mary, you are blessed because you have what? Because you have believed. And so the second thing we see in Mary is that her posture of acceptance is that she was believing. She received by faith, first of all, the word of God's messenger. And again, look at a contrast between her and Zechariah. But Mary believed Gabriel at that very moment. In all of her confusion, in her fear, in her wonderment, in the mystery of it all. She may not understand it, but she believes what the angel has said to her. And so she received by faith his word, but also she was receiving by faith the purpose of God's plan, not only for her life, but for all of humanity. It's the greatest moment really in God's story. It was foreshadowed in Genesis, the very Garden of Eden. What the prophets had written about, even so many of the songs in the Psalms, the purpose of Israel as a nation, what the Apostle Paul called a mystery, this was it. And Mary, by faith, is receiving it. She believed. She accepted in welcoming the mystery. She accepted in receiving this by faith. And then the third thing Mary did is that by faith in accepting the call of God, she worshiped in song. And we note the parallels. The angel Gabriel appears both to Zechariah and to Mary. And both of them are going to have promised sons within their womb. One, the forerunner, John the Baptist. The other, the eternal Son of God, Jesus, coming in flesh. Both will conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, supernatural means. And both Zechariah and Mary close these great moments, these parts of the great story of Christ's birth with paragraphs of praise. And so verse 36, Mary said the following. And before we read it, I want you to picture little Mary, a young woman in Israel. Her response to what God is revealing to her is this: my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are so proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Wow, what a song. What does Mary say in these words? But she worshiped in song, first of all, over her humble state. And that's a theme throughout all of this, but it begins with those words, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She is blown away at the mercies of God. She is amazed at the goodness of God. And there's a theme throughout it that God is bringing down the rich, but he's pulling up the poor. That in this, God is remembering those who you would never in a million years think that is who he would choose. Mary says, I am amazed and I praise God for the humility that I have that he has come to embrace. And that he's chosen her. And then verse 48 and 9, she worships him over her future place. From now on, generations are going to call me blessed. Holy is his name. He's done great things for me. And here we are today, and what are we doing? But we're remembering the blessed Mary. And then she worships God over her, first of all, thirdly, over the Israel's glory. Verse 55 and 54. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. In other words, Mary is standing back. She's seeing the threat of God in this. She is seeing the plan of God, the course of God in all of history. She's going back to Abraham and realizing this is the fulfillment of God's plan. She's realizing through her is what God had planned, and it's going to come to fruition. And in awe, she sings her praise to God. It's all the result of what? That Mary was willing to accept the plan of God. I often will remind us of this, and we don't know the answer, but I'd ask you today, what happened if Mary would have said, no, you have the wrong person here? Because Moses did, and Jeremiah did. Many have throughout Scripture, but yet Mary received immediately what God had called her to. How does it speak to you and I today? Well, there's three things that I think of as we look at the story of Mary, and then we'll close this morning. The first is that it is a privileged grace to follow God's will, no matter the cost. And as good as this may sound to us today, we have to realize the trauma that this put this young woman through. We have to realize the challenges, the difficulties, what happened socially, in a relationship with Joseph, all that surrounds it. And in the end, as that baby's in the manger and the three wise men are coming and they worship and the shepherds are sent from the fields and all of it, it's a wonderful, wonderful narrative. But we have to remember the emotions of what this young lady went through. And for you and I, many times, to follow God in our lives, it's going to cost us. There's a sacrifice. There is a price to the will of God many times. And maybe this is why, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, why Jesus added that phrase early in the prayer that we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer saying, I invite the rule of God into my life, that I accept God, not always my will, but your will. And many times there's a price to that. There is a cost associated to it. And we see that in the life of Mary here. And it may be you today that you are wrestling with something in your life. You're wrestling with the will of God. You're wrestling with what you seems like God is planning and preparing you for. And it could be that God wants you to see in Mary that many times it costs to follow his plan. Second thing is that God does amazing things to those who are willing, no matter the age. And I love that about the story. Just dawned on me this week as I looked at this, the intertwining of these two women, the intertwining of these two sons, these two pregnancies. One, an elderly woman who's been barren all of her life, and they prayed for decades for the Lord to give them a child. And the other being a young virgin girl who is just, all she's planning is a wedding. She has no idea of what is about to break loose in her life. But what did Joel say in prophecy, Joel chapter 2? I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to see visions. See, it's the beauty of God's work, and that is that God wants to continue working in our lives no matter what season we are in. And so to the older here today, to the elderly here today, who knows what God wants to do in you? It may not be a baby. Could you hear any man this morning? Amen. But it could be that God wants to birth something in you. And you've many years ago just kind of shut things down. But you know what? God has something for you today. As well to the young here that says, oh, little old me, God couldn't use me. And you look at those that are above you and older than you and those that you admire and respect. And oh, those are the ones that God uses. And it just might be little old you that God wants to birth something great in. And so we see the beauty here of all ages. And it's something central that we celebrate as a church, is that we want to be a church of all generations. You know why? Because we believe not only that we're the family of God that way, and we express that to our world, our community, to one another, but it's also because we believe God never finishes his work until our faith becomes sight. And so he's working in all generations. The third thing we see as I close is that Christmas is receiving the life of Jesus, no matter who we are. No matter who we are. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about acceptance. It's about receiving. Truthfully, Mary is the first disciple of Jesus when you think about it. She was the one that, as Luke later described, she pondered these things in her heart. That as she held that baby, even before that though, as she had received the angel's message, she believed who she had within her womb. She believed in the Son of God. As she held the baby, she believed. As she presented him to the temple on the eighth day, she was believing. All of the acts of faith along the way, she was pondering, she was treasuring, she was believing in her heart that he was the Son of God. And so really Mary is that first disciple. And what a picture for you and I in this Christmas season, because Jesus came. And he came offering himself. Jesus came saying, here I am. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, many rejected him, but to all who received him, to all who had the posture of acceptance, he gave the right to become children of God. So as you and I come to Christmas this season, the greatest thing of all would be that we have received him into our hearts, into our lives, because then we become children of God. And maybe you say, oh, I've done that long ago, then I still would have a question for you today. And that is, what is your posture this Christmas season? Last week, the question of serving. What is your posture of doing what God has called you to do in this moment in your life, the season of the year? But I'd ask you, as we look at Mary's life, what is your posture when it comes to accepting what God has for you? And I'd ask you today, what do you think he has for you this December? And it's easy again for us to always think of others, but what about you? What about me today? What is it God wants to speak? What is it that he wants to birth in us? Because even likened to Mary, I believe today that God wants all of us to receive something new and fresh from him. But we have to be readied. We have to be open. We have to be ready to accept God in our lives. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? And as you do, if you would, just evaluate in your own heart and life. You might be sitting next to a spouse or a dear friend, someone very close to you, but I'd ask if you would to, in your own heart and life, examine your posture right now before Jesus this Christmas. Have you received him into your heart? Maybe this would be the year. And it might be that you've attended here for a long time, or maybe you just wandered in these doors this morning. But you realize right now, you can sense it, that God is speaking to you and he's wanting you. He's knocking on your door. That's the picture that the book of Revelation closes with. Jesus standing at the heart of each of us, and he knocks. And those that will open the door are receiving and accepting of him. He wants to come in to know you and for you to know him in a personal way today. Is there anyone here? You say, Jeff, this Christmas could be the most meaningful one of my entire life. Because I feel right now a desire in my heart, I want to accept Jesus. I want to open my heart and receive him today. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand real quick? Just quickly, just put it up and put it down, just so that I can see it between you and me and God right now. But you say in your heart, you'd like to. I see that hand. Or anyone else, you can put it down. Thank you. Anyone else, you just put up your hand real quick. You say, that's me. I want right now to receive Jesus into my heart, to accept him as my Savior. Jesus came for one purpose, the Bible says, and that was to be the sacrifice, that he would go to the cross, die for our sins, that all of us have sinned, but we can receive eternal life through him. If that's you this morning, would you join this one? Is there anyone else? I give you just a moment longer, but you feel that God is speaking to your heart right now, and you open yourself to him today. Would you put up that hand? Anyone else? Quickly, you put up that hand. Anyone else? I give you just a moment longer. God speaking to you. Anyone else? So thankful for you.
So thankful for this one. There may be others today, but let me ask secondly as we close in prayer in just a moment. How many of you are here today and you say, Jeff, I want my posture to be this. I want to receive Jesus this Christmas. I want to receive him in his fullness. I want everything he has for me, even if it's costly, even if it may put me through an interesting trial. But as I look ahead to 2013, I want everything God has for me. And my posture then is this. I want to accept the will of God for my life. If that's you, would you just put up your hand just quickly and put it down. But you say, Lord, that's me. I'm open to whatever you have for me. I want to accept your plan for my life. I trust that would be everyone else here this morning. Let's pray together, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this wonderful time of the year. We thank you for the music and the orchestra, the choir, the pageantry, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful songs, the theology and the songs we sing, many of them the great hymns of this time of the year, Lord. Thank you for it all. It's a wonderful gift. But Lord, we know today the greatest, most important decision of all is that we choose you. And that we choose to receive you into our hearts and to receive your purpose and your will for our lives. And so this day, we right now pause to do that very thing. I'm going to invite you to pray with me a prayer right now as we do customarily as a church. And for this one that raised their hand, there may be others today. You didn't raise your hand, but right now you say, Jeff, I'm open. I want to receive Jesus. Would you then just pray with us a simple prayer? It's not a magical prayer. It's not a mantra. It's just something that's based upon Scripture where we receive Jesus into our hearts. And if you would, pray it with me out loud. Everyone together, let's pray these words. Oh God, I believe in you. I may not understand everything, but I take your word by faith today. I know that I've sinned. I believe that Jesus came, born of a virgin, and that he went to a cross and fulfilled your plan, being the sacrifice for my sins. I ask you this day to forgive me of all my sin, to cleanse my heart, to make me brand new from the inside out. I believe in Jesus, and I put my hope in him today. I receive you now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. As you do today, right in front of you, there is a little card there in the pocket behind the seat in front of you. And if you would just take that out, there's one there that says, my decision today is a choice for you. And if you would take that, if you just pray that prayer, and if you'd fill it in and just take it to our hospitality center, which is on the Boonville side, there's many that will be there to talk to you, to welcome you. Would love to share with you more about your faith and your decision today. But I'm going to ask us to close with a prayer right now. And if you would, as we do, just for the rest of us here today, in accepting whatever God has for us, would you open your heart as we close? And would you accept the blessing that it is to do the will of God? No matter the cost, no matter what it may mean, whether we are old or young today, that God wants to birth something in us, would you pray with me now? Father, this season of the year, we accept you. We accept Jesus, something we may have done years ago, but Lord, we accept your plan and your purpose for our lives. And Lord, we may be young and we may be old today, but Lord, we see in this that you are weaving your story through our lives. And so Lord, may each of us be willing now to fulfill the purpose you've called for us. And so as we come to the close of a year and are about to be entered into a new year, Lord, we invite whatever you want to do in and through us. Birth your plan and your purpose in our lives today, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, what a privilege it is. And like Mary, we say, we are your servant, Lord. Do unto us what you desire to do. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen.